Thank you for coming this morning when the sunshine might have been enough to keep you away, when the tennis might have been enough to keep you away. I'm not going to give out announcements as to how that game is going, simply because I don't have them. But thank you for coming, and thank you for, just by the act of taking a step to come here, you're testifying that we are worshiping today a great God who loves us and cares for us and who knows that we go through rough times. And on one occasion said to his disciples, and the disciples were gloriously slow sometimes at picking up what was going on. I quite like that characteristic. And Jesus said to them, "Come unto me. Come unto me. All you that are burdened, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you." Now it starts to get interesting when the Lord starts talking about a gift. What's he going to give? And no matter what it is, it'll blow your mind if you get it. "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. You want to know what rest is? Read the story of Noah right through, because the name Noah in Hebrew is linked to the Hebrew word for rest. So I don't know whether Noah got to rest the entire time his ark was floating. I suspect not. But come unto me, all that travail, heavy laden, I will give you rest. And let's sing together. To bring that theme a little closer, "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord." Hymn number 533 in your Baptist Praise and Worship. Written by an American Baptist from Brooklyn in the 19th century, but not bad for all that.
Thank you.
For over 400 years in this country, people have come together regularly and saying the prayers, which we will say now, after which we'll have the notices, and then if the collection could be brought forward, please. So let's pray now, then notices, and then collection. This was probably penned by Thomas Cranmer in the reign of Henry VIII or possibly Edward VI. O God, merciful Father, that despisest not the sighing of a contrite heart, nor the desire such as be sorrowful, mercifully assist our prayers, that we make before thee in all our trouble and adversities, whenever they oppress us, graciously hear us, that those evils which the craft and subtlety of the devil or man worketh against us be brought to naught, and by the providence of thy goodness they may be dispersed, that we thy servants, being hurt by no persecutions, may evermore give thanks unto thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, who knowest us to be set in the midst of so many and so great dangers, that by reason the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright, grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Grant us today such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our notices, please.
Morning, everybody. I'm all set this week, the glasses and the correct crib sheet. So, I draw up the rotas for the deacons every 4 months. And every 4 months, I have the same issue of trying to match too few deacons to too many duties. Therefore, we wish to implement just a couple of small changes in order to assist us, please. So, with immediate effect, when you attend church now going forward, would you all please tick off your own name on the sheets at the front and up the side door, and you know use the hand sanitizer for using the pen, etc. The list is required for test and trace purposes. So instead of somebody ticking off your name, please tick off your own names. Thank you. Also, if there is anyone who can assist by being in the foyer and welcoming people to the church, please just pitch up. Now, there could be a deacon there if we're free, but if not and you feel you want to welcome people, please pitch up. And I had a great idea. If we didn't have enough people, we could get one of these holograms that you see in the airport where the eyes follow you around and welcome you. Spooky, really, hey? COVID measures. The government says, and I quote now, COVID-19 will be a feature of our lives for the foreseeable future, so we need to learn to live with it and manage the risk to ourselves and others. End quote. Though legal requirements remain in place, notably, face coverings are no longer mandatory in public spaces, including churches. Now, the leadership team had a meeting on Tuesday, and we agreed that we will allow people discretion about whether to wear masks during Sunday service. That said, we're keeping other voluntary measures in place to limit the spread of COVID-19, and those are the ones that the government say are voluntary, but we should keep in place. That's encouraging vaccination, ventilating the spaces, regular lateral flow testing, careful hygiene, and social distancing. Now, if you choose not to wear a mask, please be particularly mindful of those around you. Now, you might see today we have opened more of the central pews, the longer ones, not the side ones. We've opened more of the central pews to allow additional flexibility in seating, but ask you not to sit either directly in front or behind one another. Just space yourselves out. Thank you. There is a members' meeting on Wednesday, the 2nd of February at 7:30. It will take place in the sanctuary and on Zoom. Now, we do encourage as many of you to attend as possible, especially as there will be an end-of-year review of finances and the 2022 budget to agree. Now, I'll warn you now, it doesn't make good reading. So I'd be interested if anyone has a printing press at home. You can print some money. Our Minister Colin will be on compassionate leave from the 2nd to the 6th of February and again the 14th to the 17th of February. So for pastoral care at that time, please contact Teen or Pat. All the details are in the newsletter. So unfortunately, we have actually had three families with bereavements recently, so please keep them in your prayers. That's Colin and family, Obed and Rifat and Chimindra. Next week, Les Ebden will be taking the all-age service, and there will be refreshments after the service today. Sorry, it was a bit long this morning. Back to you, John.
Many thanks. Can somebody bring the collection forward now for prayer, please? Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the monies that come to us. We pray that we may handle them wisely. We may have a generous and open heart to using and spending in a way that will build the fellowship here. And we thank you for all those who regularly make a contribution. Bless them far more than they can imagine. Amen. If we could have our first reading now, please, which will start with Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9.
The first reading can be found on page 1205. In the New Pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 5, there's two verses here and then we'll carry on in the book of Philippians. Chapter 5, reading from verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The words are so significant, I'd like to read those again. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And continuing our lesson this morning from the book of Philippians, the letter of Paul to the Philippians, reading from chapter 2 and beginning at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature with in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. Two key ideas come out of this reading, and it's for all of us. No matter how old you are, how young you are, coming through is the person who wanted to follow God. In the first instance, it was the person of Jesus himself. In the second reading, it was being written to people who were in a church. Was in effect, choose what you're going to do and take the consequences. Back notion, it's worth it. But obedience needed to be learned. In the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus needed to learn obedience. And a simple question could be, how are we going to do that? You don't want a long message at this point. I don't want to give a long message, but I just throw open the question. How will we learn obedience so that we follow the Lord better than we're doing? I've got three possible suggestions, and maybe you want to discuss them afterwards. And when we get on to the story of Joseph later on, carry that thought with you. How did he learn obedience? How did it happen that people bowed the knee to him? Which is what we will one day do to Christ. And three possibilities that you might find useful. One, find an example of somebody who's doing it and follow them. Copy them. Find an example, copy it. Manage your mind. Have the same mind in you as is in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, chose to humble himself. Manage your mind. What do you let go into your mind? There's all sorts of stuff pleading to get in. A lot of it comes through the mobile phone. A lot of it will come from somewhere else. But just open that up. And then finally, if you have a conscience, and you do, God's made sure of that, be sensitive to it. Sometimes your conscience will prompt you to do something. Go ahead. Check it out. Do it. But those three things might help us in our walk with God. And I deliberately wanted those of you who are going out to know this is where we're going in the second part of our service. And you can now, as we sing our next hymn, go out to your own young people's meeting. And we're going to sing two songs that Clifford's going to play for us, Not I But Christ, which we will stand to sing. The second one, What a Beautiful Name, sit down and really look at the words that are on screen. Sing them as well as you like, but pick them up off the screen. So, Not I But Christ, and then What a Beautiful Name, we'll sing together. Thank you.
What? draped of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my love is wholly bound to this. Oh, how strange or divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken. By my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor out in weakness, I'm rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been worn, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fear I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. He has raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus, now or nevermore, my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Oh, the glory evermore to him. When the rest is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the rest is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, in the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, built up before you, you solid wall, sin and grace. The heaven praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a name of Jesus, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 41, verses 41 right through to 57. Joseph in charge of Egypt. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain round his neck. He made him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphenath-Paneah and gave him Asenath's daughter to Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere.
Thank you. I wonder if you believe what's written down by Paul in the New Testament when he's writing to the man who probably is his successor. And he says to him, "Do you know, all scripture," note the word, "all scripture is given by God and is profitable." In the Old Testament, it talks about the scriptures being more profitable than gold. And when you hear the story of Joseph, do you find yourself wondering, what has that story from 3,000 years ago got to do with me? How is this profitable? How is it profitable for doctrine? How is it useful for the way I live my life? Yeah, that's exactly the question I want to ask you. How is this story of Joseph, we've only got one bit of it, any good to us? What's the point? And I warn you, there's so much stuff in this little story that I've got from Genesis chapter 41 that I could get muddled and confuse things. And I don't want to do that. And there's so much I could forget there's a clock on the wall there and just go on and on and on until you're all looking at your watches and saying, "For goodness sake, man, stop." But one thing you won't find, if you've got any kind of imagination in your head at all, is that the story's boring. And then one thing I do whenever I read a story from Scripture is think, where can I link this through to other stories in the Bible? So that I can get a little bit more than just this bit. I can get some more and begin to make more sense of it. So I'm going to try and make sense of the passage we read. I'm going to throw out some questions that I want you to go away and wrestle with. Discuss with you over lunch, if you like. And then say, well, what's the point of me knowing that? Well, if you've read the book of Genesis, you'll know it begins, well, almost begins, doesn't it? With a naked man being made by God and being told to do some gardening. come down, 36, no, 40 chapters later, we've got a man who isn't naked. He's clothed with linen, fine linen. And those of you who know about these things know that Egyptian linen is of the best. And this man is told not to do gardening, but to actually produce food. Well, way back in the book of Genesis, it talked about trees being good for food, as well as good to look at. The Bible's inviting you to make a comparison between Adam and Joseph, and possibly saying, well, what God intended for Adam, Joseph did. And that's possibly just one little thing. What did Joseph do? And then later on in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, I think it is. Actually, I'm not sure about that. Joseph was aged 17. Our 17-year-olds have left, haven't they? Shame. The 17-year-olds got given a coat. You ever seen a 17-year-old with a jacket they want to have? They swagger down the street. They think this is marvellous. Joseph's given a coat. And what does it do? It creates misery. His family say, huh, that's not fair. Kids saying that's not fair, sound real? Sound authentic? That's 3,000 years ago, but it still happens. Kids go, that's not fair. And Joseph got dumped in an empty cistern while his brothers argued what to do with him. He got a sense of importance for himself. He did wonderful dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. He had wonderful imagination about what he was going to do when he grew up, and then found himself a slave. Have you ended up somewhere you didn't want to be? Somebody had asked you at 17, when you were just trying on your coat, what you're going to be with your life. Oh, I'm going to be prime minister. Or I'm going to be, well, you know what your dreams were. What happened to them? Joseph's dream got buried in the house of a rich ruler who didn't care about his own family enough to be there. So much so that his wife began to cast eyes on Joseph, on the slave. Sound familiar? A house where the man is never home. Not got time for his family. And Joseph? Where did Joseph get the idea that he couldn't have that woman? Where did that come from? We're not told of Jacob sitting down with Joseph and teaching him anything. And yet, there's a conscience there that says, I can't do this. Even though it leads him into grief, his refusal to take his opportunity with the lady who was willing to present herself to him, his refusal led him into prison. Have you ended up somewhere you didn't want to be? And can you hold on to God in the middle of it? That's part of the challenge of Joseph's life. Is that somehow, in the worst of situations, he's going to be able to say to his brothers when they finally come and meet him, this is nothing to do with your cheap playing around with my life. This is nothing to do with you. God had a plan that was bigger than any of us could imagine. And he had to get Joseph there. Had to get Joseph to the place where Joseph could do what God wanted him to do. And it was only possible because Joseph had somehow managed to stay in some kind of touch with the Almighty. I wish with all my heart there was a little chapter put in there somewhere around chapter 36, 37 in Genesis, said, this is what Joseph did for his quiet time. Or this is what Joseph did to know that he was following God. Or this is what, but it doesn't. Because the way each one of us approaches God is between us and God. And all that God wants of us is that we do what's right for us. It'll affect other people massively. But he's got to mark him out first. How will people know to honor Joseph? Well, Pharaoh makes sure of that. And this is where I begin to get muddled. Because I sometimes think Pharaoh is the ruler of this world. And yet in another very real way, he's almost a picture of God himself, giving authority to a man who will feed the nation. That whole business of food is worth following through Scripture someday. Meander through, see where food comes in. The last commandment Jesus gave to his disciples in John's Gospel, what was it? Feed my sheep. And where God's at work in the Old Testament, there's abundance very often. There's richness. And so he marks out with his clothes that he gives Joseph. First of all, he marks out this man is special. Here is a linen robe. Where else are linen robes talked about in Scripture? Who else gets to wear a linen robe? And do you find yourself dreaming of the linen robe that will be put on you when you get to glory? I wish I had time to meander down that sideway just for a little while. But linen robe, the Lord himself was buried in a linen robe. And I find myself going, wow. But don't stop there. There's gold. Where's gold used in Scripture? The next book along from Genesis, it'll talk about the people of Israel being freed from slavery in Egypt by the power of God's actions. And they get given riches upon riches, gold upon gold to take with them, almost like a 400 years back pay that they were given for their time in slavery, out of which they build a tabernacle where God is to be worshipped. What's that tabernacle made of? Well, the outer wall is made of linen, white linen. And inside it is gold upon gold upon gold. Joseph is just getting the beginnings of the wealth of God. A linen robe, a golden necklace, and a ring to indicate where his loyalty is to lie. And only then is he given freedom to now go out and see what you can see. And do what you have to do. And he goes out and he begins to generate, to do what's necessary to produce the food that Egypt is going to need for seven years. Marvelous what he does. But there's just a little hint of sorrow in there, isn't there? He's given a new relationship. Pharaoh says to him, you can have this woman here. Goodness knows what option she had. But between them, I imagine they talked about God a bit because she was brought up in a family with a priest. I often wonder what their discussions might have been about. But anyway, she gives him two sons. And the names are virtually spelled out for us. The first one is Manasseh. The name Manasseh will become a sad, sad name later on in Jewish history. But on this occasion, I should remember it and I've forgotten it. The Lord has caused me to forget the affliction in my father's house. Here he is in the pinnacle of authority, and the name he gives to the child reminds him of the misery he had. The Lord. Why did he allow that? I don't know. But the next name, Ephraim, that's gone from me too, just for the minute. God has made me fruitful. And it's one of the promises we're given in the New Testament. That if we promise and if we follow the Lord, what is it in the parable of the sower? It ends up with abundance, doesn't it? Some will receive 100-fold. Joseph hasn't had 100-fold. Read what it says. It's as many as sands on the seashore. Now, how many times does that picture come in the scriptures? There's people are described, there'll be as many as sands on the seashore, the descendants of Abraham. There's food is now as many as sands on the seashore. And later on in the prophets, there's a few other things that are worth digging out. Sand on the seashore. The Lord is abundant in his generosity. And sometimes we just can't get it. That's Joseph. Got his two sons. Those two sons are interesting. Because they take over Joseph's place in the tribes of Israel. There isn't a tribe of Joseph in Israel. There's a tribe of Manasseh and there's a tribe of Ephraim, not Joseph. Got a double portion. So whatever else this section of Genesis is telling us, it's telling us something about the huge generosity of our Saviour. Of the Lord himself, of God. He's putting Joseph in a position where he can affect the course of the world. The whole known world depends on Joseph's ability to feed them. Never underestimate the significance of the power of a believing person. We tend to do it. We tend to think, no, we're not very important. Don't. Look what God has done to this. He's brought riches upon riches upon riches into Joseph's life. And Joseph will eventually have to try and convince his brothers of who he really is. That's another story. Just today, can you get enough? Just enough, possibly, to see that there are threads being used here that Joseph is in the middle of a storyline that there's a past. We don't get to heaven and wipe the past out. It's there. But it won't stop what's coming because of who God is, which is why I wanted to sing those verses, those songs at the beginning about Christ. Joseph, in a very real sense, gives us some clues as to the personality of who Christ himself is. And it's marvellous. You walk out with a smile on your face. You can't resist it. You think, goodness me, I never knew my Saviour were that good. And if you don't, go back to the story when you get home and have another look. The story of Joseph is mind-blowing. And it's only a tiny little part of how good God is. And probably it would be a good idea for me to stop now. And let it sink in. Joseph becomes somebody who's got the hallmarks of holiness put on him, of a white linen robe, of a gold necklace, and a signet ring from the ruler of the world himself, to demonstrate the power of God at work in one man. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank God for it. And now let's, for a moment, sing about what Joseph actually did. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. An old song, 19th century, written by a Presbyterian. And none the worse for all that. Let's sing together and link it to the story of Joseph. When we walk with the Lord, 548 in our Baptist praise and worship. a time for prayer. If we didn't have a good God, we would know the world was going to be horrible. If we didn't have a good God, we would despair at all that there is. But we do. We have a good God who's always ready to hear us, more ready probably than we are to talk. And so we can think of those huge problems in the world that are too big for us, that frighten us, the fear of war, the wisdom or stupidities of people like Putin and Biden and Zelensky, who are dealing with the Ukraine problem, or the greed problem. We could despair of disasters like the ones in Tonga and Haiti, and where there's lack of food. We know God doesn't approve of that. We can be silenced by the history that pushes into our lives, whether it's through the Holocaust Memorial Day and all the stories that belong there, or whether it's the awfulness of Bloody Sunday in our own country, amongst our own people, within our lifetime. And we could come again to the hurt that's in our own midst. The hurt just because the way the world works and life and death work. And death has touched us this week, Colin and Chris and Obed and Rafit. There's hurts of illness. There's hurts unknown and untold. And if we didn't have a good God, what on earth would we do with this? But living God, we bring to you the things we've mentioned as a tiny, tiny portion of what even affects this fellowship. And we just ask you, use those things we've mentioned. Use our conversation one with another to draw you in closer in a way that will cause us to trust you and to smile at the very thought of you. A God who was giving right from the start and has carried on giving. And we thank you for the precious gifts that you've given to us, whether it's in the form of family, whether it's in the form of nourishment, whether it's just a new renewed awareness of the preciousness of your dear Son. We come to you and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer, because you taught them to us. And we ask you, even as we pray these words, to help us understand what it is you are trying to teach us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's for us to move on, to leave this place for this week. And so we pick up on a song from Sidney Carter, who has the unusual qualification of having two of the top five songs that are sung in school assemblies in this country. So one more step along the way I go, you may well have sung at school, but it's not a bad song for all that. 356, one more step. Let's take that step and go with God together. One more step along the way I go, one more step along. Apologies for not greeting our Zoom participants and Zoom sharers, but hello to you all and God bless you. And we say together, or we join together in the words of the book of Philippians for the end, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Bless you all. Amen.